Okay, what do they say?
This is a question from Ananda Chaitanya Prabhu. He says that in the Bhagavatam 1.6.15 and 16, Narada describes, text 15, "After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree, in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls." 16, "As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart." Question: why was it that Narada Muni was meditating on the super soul within rather than Sri Krishna himself? And how is it that by such meditation, Sri Krishna himself appeared before Narada? Furthermore, what form does Sri Krishna take when he appears before Narada? Is he Vraja Krishna? We read in Navavraja Mahima that Narada desires to take part in Krishna's Vraja pastimes and thus enters Vrindavan as Naradiya Gopi. But is Narada's internal constitutional mood one of Vrindavan? I guess if it were, he would reside in Vrindavan more permanently. Or is his curse by Daksha to be eternally travelling binding in this case?
That's a lot of questions all in one. But these verses and Narada's meditation are very extensively described by acharyas, especially Jiva Goswami and Sundarbas, and I don't particularly remember all the details, and I think also others, and probably other acharyas who are commenting on those specific verses. So it's valuable to read those. I remember doing it to a certain extent at some time. What was the first question? Why was he meditating on the super soul?
Yes, rather than on Sri Krishna himself.
Meditating on super soul because that's what that's was to the extent of his realization and understanding and training that he'd been given by the Bhaktivedantas. Narada's sort of progression and advancement he also describes, and that's a real topic that's gone into in Lent just for that purpose of establishing, since he's the one who's ordering Srimad Bhagavatam, his Krishna consciousness is quite instrumental in establishing the bona fides of Srimad Bhagavatam and Vyasadeva. You know, that's not going to be enough. That's finished. You can just give that to someone. And Narada is a that's his swarup, whatever else other form he may have in sometime Vrindavan is as Narada Muni, a unique transcendental spaceman, as Prabhupada calls him. And he's a Vaidhi Bhakta. So those verses of Bhagavatam that we're talking about, it's Vaidhi Bhakta, he's a Siddha, but he's a worshipper of Lord Narayan, and even in terms of his interaction with Krishna, because he precipitates all the Braja pastimes, or at least the demon's appearance and so on, and Kamsa attacking Vrishnis. So he's instrumental, but generally we see that's his identity. And dakshas curses of conditioned souls don't affect eternally liberated souls like Narad. So that's just a lila, that's a pastime, and it doesn't keep Narad out of Vrindavan. Therefore, Narada is always living in Naradavan, in Vrindavan, and just near Govardhan. But in general, his real access to Vrindavan comes through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who does say, when he does his darshan, revelation, spanning the whole day, that he is giving everyone spiritual forms in Braj, and moods, whatever their eternal moods are, whether they're Vaidhi Bhaktas like Narad, or whether they happen to be Mahavishnu like Advaitacharya, or he said, I'll take you all to Vrindavan and give you transcendental forms like my own. So in that way, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, how these two are coexisting, that's one of those mysteries of transcendence. But when we read about Narada Muni, then we understand him in the light here of the Bhagavatam. He meditates on Lord Narayan, and his darshan is that of Lord Narayan, as far as I understand, not necessarily Sri Krishna. And it's temporary. It's a special arrangement because his Krishna consciousness is not fully mature. That comes as he wanders the earth and chants Hare Krishna through the process of Nam Sankirtan. Then he becomes fully purified, and then he leaves this, and he enters into the body of Mahavishnu and comes out again, and he attains, and that becomes his swarup, or that is his swarup. It is his swarup. This story of the how Narada became, that's again there, and the Gandharva and so on, these are all other associated leelas, but Narada is always Narada. And sometimes other living entities are also in the body, just like Drona and Dara and Nanda and Yashoda, and that's why they're referred to like that, as son of a maidservant. Or son, it's just a leela. It's his leela. Like Krishna puts the Pandavas through leela. Anything else in there?
This is from Haladhar Prabhu. He says, considering the incredibly vast number of living entities which I assume reside in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, how is it possible for the living entities, apart from close associates, to do personal service to Radha Krishna, or as a coward boy, etc.? Is it that most service is indirect, to be a servant of the servant, etc.? And to be where Krishna is present directly is a rare opportunity? Or is it that Krishna is present in various different places in Goloka Vrindavan simultaneously to interact with his devotees personally, like with each of the gopis during the Rasa dance?
Krishna doesn't have to be in many places to interact with everyone individually. When Krishna sat with the cowherd boys, and everyone saw him sitting by his side, Krishna didn't expand himself. He remains one. That's just us. We only think like that. Either he's separate, or he's one, but he can't be one and separate at the same time. But that Achinta Beta Beta is that they're both one and different at the same time. So Krishna can be many and he can be one. He can be with every person in Goloka Vrindavan individually. That doesn't mean he has to be in separate places, or he has to expand himself in that form. Just like in the Rasa dance. Srimad Chakravarti said Krishna just appeared to move very fast, but he didn't expand himself. But sometimes it's stated like that, because otherwise we have difficulty relating to what actually is taking place. So everything is managed by Krishna's Achintya Shakti. And as far as associating with Krishna, devotees have the opportunity to be with Krishna directly. But when they become Krishna conscious, then they realize that it's actually more direct to be serving Krishna through Krishna's associates. That becomes even more, to the extent that, at least in terms of their mood, they don't even necessarily want to be directly engaged with Krishna, although that may take place. If that's what Krishna wants, but devotees don't strive for that. And the reason is because they get a higher taste from serving Krishna indirectly than from serving him directly. So why would someone aspire for a lower taste when a higher taste is gotten in that process? And that's why Lord Chaitanya says, Das, Das, Anu Das. This is not just in the material world, this is in the spiritual world. The nectar increases more you go down the line. Shukam Mukadrava Samjutam. It's like Srimad Bhagavatam. More it's passed down, the sweeter it becomes. And same thing, more Krishna's passed down, then, and it's inconceivable. There's no such thing as indirect. It just appears to be indirect, but it becomes even more direct, more intense, and it becomes more tasty. Because what will you do with Krishna alone? What can someone do? What do we have? But in other words, what of Krishna can we appreciate as just tiny living entities, especially having been in this very embarrassing condition in the material world? But how much more can cowherd boys, gopis, Nanda Maharaj give to us of Krishna? And then when they say you do this and you take this to Krishna, then you do that, and then you'll be with Krishna. Is that it?
There are more questions if you want to manage.
Okay, I think we're good with the offering. Dharanam Bhajan Kichan.